Thank you. The human nature experiences a wide variety of emotions. Fear, anger, love, joy, sorrow, resentment, and bitterness. We know of contentment, but we also have experienced inharmony and distress. And I dare say that experts, the ones in the field of psychology, psychiatric practices, they have studied and analyzed all of these feelings, each and every one of them. Now they do so with the desire to learn more about us, to discover what it is that makes us tick. Their intent and their purpose is to apply this knowledge in a way that improves us, making life a little more pleasurable, giving meaning to our existence. And you know, there are times when we find this to be helpful. After all, we all want to live the abundant life, the one of fulfillment and satisfaction. And so we consult with these individuals, the ones who have studied us, asking for clarity and simplicity. We are looking for answers and solutions to what we consider life's problems. Surely these experts can help us. We want to make the world a better place, and yet we don't seem to understand or believe that in order for this to happen, that we may be required to make some changes. We might be asked to look at things in another way, or perhaps to act differently. We would like the world to change, yes, but we want to stay the same. Now, at the same time, we readily admit that we do not like the feelings associated with anger and fear, the ones with jealousy and resentment. These are responses and reactions that belong to our human nature. They are stored in us, in that place of personal acceptance. Now, having existence, they require expression. And they manifest in a physical way. They come forth, appearing as headaches and upset stomachs, as tension and anxiety. Some individuals said that at a particular moment in time that they were paralyzed with fear. Others said they were eaten up by jealousy and resentment. Now, they didn't mean that they were actually paralyzed or eaten up in the way that we normally use those words. They simply meant that they were overcome and overwhelmed by their emotions. They had given them power, allowing them to rule in their house of acceptance. Now, with our emotions in charge, we are not able to think or reason. And most of all, we are unable to enter that quiet place in our soul's awareness. And we will not hear those words, "Fear not, I am here." In 2 Timothy we read, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Now, we have noticed that life expresses itself in a variety of ways. Every day, we are presented with situations and conditions for us to consider. We are also given a menu of options, suggestions of what we can do with them. Now, each appears in a particular way, asking for our acceptance. And as we know, appearances can be very strong. But do not worry. Remember, God has given us the spirit of power. Power over all of the earth and everything in it. This power was given to Christ, the beloved child of God. Each of us is that child, which means that Christ is our true name. Now, when we become still, we enter that place of inner being, we go beyond appearance, and we listen. And then what comes forth is a God idea, and we know that we can trust it to do the work. Power lies in the activity of God, the creator, the sustainer of all life. Now, as his beloved child, we become the beholder, and then we observe marvelous things. Also remember that God gave us the spirit of love. Now, God's love, it does not discriminate, does not withhold, restrict, or limit. When we too are living from that quiet place, the one of our inner being, it is this love that motivates us, moving us into those places where we may be of service to God and to our fellow man. Now, it is also true that we will continue to notice the situations and those conditions that invite our attention. They belong to the world, and they are not going to go away. But with our eyes stayed on high, we are not tempted by the appearance, and we no longer consider a menu of options. Our only choice, our only decision to make, is to turn within and allow God to be God. Let us not forget that God gave us a spirit of a sound mind. We have been advised to attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Now, this is really good advice. You see, that mind that was in Christ Jesus, that is the one that God gave us. And we are meant to make use of it. But let us also understand that that human aspect of being, that one of the terrestrial body, it does not have access to that mind. The one of this body works with the mental thought, and it cannot think itself into a state of spiritual well-being. The Bible is quite clear about that. There are two aspects of being. One is celestial, the other terrestrial. And they really will not know of each other. Now, each comes with a sense of identification. One calls itself the man of flesh and blood. The other knows itself as spiritual being. And we may do our work from either place. It's all up to us. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Fear is an invention of that personal self. You know, that one that lives in the terrestrial body of humanhood. In Jeremiah, we read, I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. This is Christ. It is that personal man who invents and imagines other ideas about himself. It is that man of flesh who entertains what he calls both good thoughts and bad thoughts. It is this man who gives power to all of the emotions, the ones that build up and the ones that tear down. We hear this, and I think that we all agree that yes, we would like to live as that man of power and not as the man of fear. And so now this becomes our goal, but it also becomes our challenge. I mentioned there's two aspects of being, one being the physical manifestation, the other the spiritual self. Now, as long as we have existence in this physical body on this earth plane, we will be tempted to live as a human being. We will be tempted to think and reason and then use those things as our standard of judgment. We all know that appearance is so dominant. It invites us to look at it, demanding that we accept it. We do not go from existing as that man of flesh to living as the child of God overnight. There will be long periods of prayer and meditation, times of study and practice. It requires a whole new way of thinking and acceptance on our part. Now, at first, when we think about this, we may not totally understand, and our goal might be to change the world, rather than to make a change in us. And so we begin where we are, doing our work in all the familiar places. So once again, we consider our emotions. We reason. If we could only concentrate on the positive ones, perhaps we would not be so fearful. Well, there we go again, giving attention to fear, the very thing we said we want to get rid of. Far better for us to give attention to the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But that will come later, when we have grown in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Reflecting on our emotions, we are more willing to welcome those positive ones, the ones of joy, love, and elation. They make us feel good, and we like to feel good. But we also notice that we don't stay there too long. In that time of feeling good, we find us thinking, this is not going to last. It is too good to be true. It is a matter of waiting for that next shoe to drop, expecting that the next appearance will send us over to the negative side of emotions, or worse yet, send us into a place of depression. Now we think in this way because we understand that the world that we live in, it is a place of opposites. It is the nature of the world to experience the wide variety of emotions that manifest in a place of opposites. Now that word opposite, it means just that. It means pros and cons, the good and the bad, the up and the down, rich and poor, and then there's sickness and health. These things belong to the world, and I am sure that everyone here can relate. Now, earlier I mentioned the psychologist and the psychiatrist, the ones who study us, the world, and its condition. Now, having done so, they reason and they debate. They consider and they contemplate. This leads to their conclusions, ones that are based on what they have learned in their time of discovery. But now to me, when it comes to contemplating the world, the thing is this. We should not approach the world with the idea of trying to change it. Like I said, it is its nature to appear in this way. In fact, that's its purpose, to provide an environment that allows for the contrasts, one that asks something of us, asking us to taste and try, to test and examine. Discovering what is real and what is unreal, what is temporary and what is absolute. Now, when we work in the realm of opposites, we are the one who names things in a certain way. We are the one who calls one thing good, the other bad. We name one pleasurable and notice that the other one not so much. In the process of naming things, we experience the appropriate emotion that goes with it. But this is how it is done. And it is an important time for us. You see, when it comes to us, it is through our personal time of trial and error that we discover what matters, that we discover who we are. Truly, any revelation that comes as a result of the work done in us. Now remember, we are transitioning from existing as the man of flesh to living as the child of God. We go from that place in consciousness where we entertain thought to that place in consciousness where we give no thought. Really, this activity has nothing to do with the world or its condition. It's all about us and what we accept as true for us. So again, let us not try to do anything to this world. It's okay the way it is. It brings us opportunities to grow in knowledge and understanding. It's all about us. Never the experience, rather it is our reaction or our response to it that matters. Our world, it is a reflection of all that we bring to it. And it is personal. This is why two individuals having that same experience will receive a different result. They'll have a different outcome. All because they simply look at it with a different point of view. Again, we go back to the emotions. Now, one may view an incident with fear, and their experience with it includes everything that is contained in the feelings of fear and anxiety. Now, being fearful, they are apprehensive, unable to think or reason beyond that place of alarm. They are stuck in an attitude of their own making, and they are not able to find a way out. It really is all about us and how we view life. That second individual, the one having the experience, that individual has another view, one that brings a different result. This individual feels there is an answer to every problem or condition that any human being might be asked to face. Now, this attitude allows for truth to be revealed. The truth that there really is no reality to a problem. For this person, it is not a matter of trying to find a way out, but rather to discover the way that gives clarity and transparency. You know, when we look beyond the appearance, when we go beyond thought and the emotion, truth does reveal itself. Truth reveals that God is in this place as the only power, the only love, and the only mind. And this is where we want to be. Now remember, living in an environment of opposites, it provides a menu for our consideration. Now as human beings, we love menus. We love having choices, even if we aren't sure which one to make. I think this is one reason that it is so challenging for us when we attempt to transition from existing as the man of flesh to living as a child of God. We simply enjoy some of the things that belong to that man of flesh. This man thinks he's in charge. Many times we like to be in charge. But he thinks he has the power that actually belongs to the child of God. Which is why sometimes life will be a little difficult. You see, when we claim something that does not belong to our true self, we are doomed to fail. We must also remember that human nature, it cannot claim something that belongs to the spiritual self. Two different things. And as individuals, we tend to live from past experience, choosing our course of action based on what we have done before. Sometimes we've allowed our thoughts to be the determining factor. Other times it was our emotions that pulled us from one direction to the other. Whatever it was, we had the result compatible with the determining factor. After a while, we began to notice these things. And then, being the honest individual that we think we are, we had to admit that we were the determining factor behind the result or the conclusion. When we allow thoughts and emotions to rule in our house of consciousness, we find us all over the place, going from one incident to another. We're not really living. We're just getting by, hoping that somehow, well, everything will work out. The feelings of fear and anger, these are two of the most destructive emotions. When they rule in our place of acceptance, we have given away our sense of peace, of harmony, and joy. And these are inherencies of God. They're also ours. They belong to us. No one can take them from us. We can, however, give them away. And we do so when we find us in that far country, when we get caught up with the personality, with appearance, and all of those choices offered on that menu, the one provided by the world of opposites. Today's lesson is not about getting rid of the attributes that belong to the human being. It is not a matter of denying those thoughts and emotions that belong to the self of the human being. The self of humanhood fits nicely in this world of experience. That person's purpose is to pick and choose from the menu of the far country, testing and trying that from the experience of opposites. But don't you see, this is how we learn about life and our reason for being. Just leave him there. Eventually, just like the prodigal son, the self of humanhood discovers that this is not who he is. He remembers himself in a different way, one that accepts a higher and a finer idea of life. Now, with this newfound wisdom, he readily releases the self that fits nicely in the world of experience, allowing it to return to its natural element of dust and decay. There is a spiritual self in the soul of man, and when it is stirred in remembrance, it rises to its rightful place as our very present help in time of trouble, as our guide, and our source of every good thing. Be not afraid. I am here. Who is this I that speaks to us in this way? The answer lies in the midst of us. I is Christ, our true self. We now give our focus and our attention to the truth of us. This morning, let us acquaint ourselves with him and be at peace. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we prepare for our time of meditation, let us remember that God is in this place. When we relax our bodies and close our eyes, we move beyond distraction and confusion. The stillness of inner being calms the storms of fear and discomfort. Peace and harmony are the natural state of our being. When we quiet ourselves, we become aware of us as that being. Turn to me, I will turn to you is the way of acknowledgement. Then we listen. The message is, you are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. Christ is the name of this child, it is your name, and it is mine. no separation between God and man. God is the creator, expresses as man, sent into this world as a light to all of those who sit in darkness, a comfort to those who long to know the truth of them. Be still and know is the command. Be not afraid. I am here. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.